What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, Buffalo pregame pod. One of our favorites here in the sports bar joining us now. Is James Cook the second best Buffalo Bill, Alex?
Hey, boys, thanks for having me. And if you, are you asking skill players or overall?
Here we go.
This is the new one. Alex, let me tell everyone how this came about. So we had Thurman Thomas, as he does every year, coming in at the Red Wing game, and he always likes to talk about Bill's issues here. And he's talking about the James Cook situation, and he's hitting all the normal beats, you know, play this year, get paid next year, da-da-da. He's the second best Buffalo Bill right now. Didn't say most important, didn't say just overall. So that was Thurman's take, again, coming from a running back. But Alex, I can't say he's wrong on that. I can make arguments for other players on this team, but I'll clear the dance floor for you here, bud. Who's the second best?
If you ask me second best offensive skill player, it's undoubtedly James Cook. There's no way around it. Khalil Shakir, I love what he's done for this team, but the ceiling that he offers is nowhere near James Cook's ceiling on a play-to-play basis. James Cook can turn a one-yard run into a 60-yard touchdown just by simply putting his foot in the ground and making a cut. Khalil Shakir, I like his run after the catch, but I don't think he has that dynamic ability that James Cook has. Now, if you open up that question to the entire roster, I think Christian Benford has some sort of say in that conversation. What he's done at the cornerback position the past several years and the all-around nature of his game, which is something I think James Cook is missing. When you look at Christian Benford, not only is he prime in coverage, he's also a premier tackler in the NFL, one of the Bills' best tacklers, especially in the secondary. So I think when you look at complete performance and impact to the team, I think you have to weigh all of that, and Christian Benford, James Cook, maybe one of the offensive linemen, Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, the way that he's been trending, but James Cook's certainly an important player to the Bills and their second-best offensive skill player, but I think if you ask me overall, I might go with Christian Benford.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Like, you could phrase it different ways, and the way Thurman brought it up is just second-best player. Okay, second-best player is kind of wide and vague, but if you said most second most important player, well, then I think you're having a conversation about Deion Dawkins, right? Like, oh no, Deion Dawkins is very important to the success of the Buffalo Bills, and if something were to happen to him, you worry about what's going to happen to your superstar quarterback, the most important player on your team.
Yeah, I actually did a story on the Buffalo pregame Substack, which is my new venture. I hope everyone follows along. I'll certainly be promoting it on my X account, so be sure to stay tuned there. I didn't include an offensive lineman because you sort of take that for granted in terms of important players. You kind of take for granted what the offensive line's been able to do, so maybe I'm a victim of that. But I have Taron Johnson, I have Keon Coleman, and Dalton Kincaid, Joshua Palmer. Those three especially, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, I think what those three are able to offer this year, I think that trio is probably the most important trio anywhere on the roster, that pass-catching trio, needing to give Josh Allen more options down the field in important games, especially when it comes to beating your man one-on-one. Keon Coleman trying to improve that. Joshua Palmer is supposed to come in and be able to offer some of that separation ability, and then you also throw Elijah Moore into the fold as well. But you really need that uptick in performance from Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid, and you need Joshua Palmer to come in here and do something to leave his stamp on this offense as well.
Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, Buffalo pregame pod, and you can subscribe to his Substack as well. Alex, more on Cook here. Let's say this is the magical season, and James Cook doesn't have to put up the numbers he put up last year, but let's say he's a big part of it, and the confetti's coming down. Buffalo Bills are the champions, and James Cook has a big role in that, and then he's going to leave, and we're kind of bracing for that, right? He'll get paid. Would he leave Buffalo at that point as the third best running back in franchise history?
I think it all comes down to money for James Cook. I don't think he's a player that looks into really his situation or where he sits in team lore or anything like that. I think and I'm not faulting him for that. As a running back, their shelf life is so limited, and the way that they're valued in the NFL, you have to strike while the iron's hot. And I don't fault him at all in how he's played it this offseason. And I do feel that James Cook will be probably within the top three running backs. Now, there was a question posed, I believe, by your sister station on WGR, the Mount Rushmore of running backs, and I was thinking about it. I think O.J. Simpson, Thurman Thomas, obviously. Then you have Shady McCoy, Fred Jackson, Travis Henry. So, yeah, I think if James Cook comes through with another season like he put forth last year, especially the touchdown production that took a step forward, I think that's how he can really plant himself into Bills history. Now, can he take the next step and become more of a three-down running back, somebody you can rely on in pass protection, and somebody that fans will remember in that regard as kind of a workhorse-style running back? I'm not so sure, considering his skill set and with what the Bills have on their roster and Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. So, two-pronged answer, I guess. I don't think it really matters to James Cook where he sits in Bill's lore. I don't think that was the essence of your question. But to answer the essence of your question, yeah, I think if he has another good season, he'll certainly ratchet up the franchise ranks.
Mount Rushmore Radio, always a tell that we're in the slow part of the sports calendar. Alex Brasky joining us, Bill's Digest Buffalo pregame. Alex, most people, I think, have kind of become reserved to the fact that Cook may leave in free agency at the end of next season, and you know, good on the Bills for doing that and recognizing that that's how they value the position. I think there are people out there, though, who view that as almost malpractice. Like, hey, he is one of the three best running backs in the league potentially here at the end of this upcoming season. Why would you let that guy walk?
Yeah, I think for Brandon Bean and company, it simply comes down to their philosophy that they've established since coming here to Buffalo, and boy, has it worked wonders for them. And they don't stray very far from their beliefs in terms of how to structure a team, how to build a roster. And yeah, there have been some variations year to year. They've increased their value of certain positions, I think, as years have gone on and the league has evolved. But I don't think they're going to change much at the running back position, especially considering where the position is at in terms of their depth chart. You have Ray Davis, you have Ty Johnson, that they've both shown when they've been given heavier workloads that they can come through with a big game. So I think that works against James Cook as well. I think when you take it all into account, the Bills know how valuable James Cook is to their team at this point. But I don't think that they view him as irreplaceable, and I think that's the right way to view it. When you have, as you mentioned earlier, the offensive line that they've established, and there's a few pieces that might be coming and going here in the next few seasons if they're not able to get them locked up contractually. But I think when you have that offensive line and you have Ray Davis and Ty Johnson waiting in the wings behind James Cook, the Bills' urgency to pay a running back is not going to be at an all-time high, especially considering the way that they've always valued the running back, never giving a second contract to one that they've drafted.
Alex, it's not a Bills note per se, but you have a former Buffalo Bill putting his hand up into the air saying, I'd like to be in camp somewhere. Can somebody please give me a shot? Making the rounds nationally with the media. Nyheim Hines. I mean, would you even entertain that in Buffalo, or is the door closed on his career? I just look back and I feel bad for the guy, but it just speaks to just how quick these careers can kind of end here. And for Nyheim Hines, I hope he gets another chance at least to latch on somewhere.
Yeah, if you remember Nyheim Hines, that exciting moment, the game following DeMar Hamlin's frightening situation in Cincinnati, the two kickoff returns for a touchdown, but the first one being really, I believe, the first play following that circumstance. So he definitely, we talk about Bill's lore, he definitely has his place in Bill's lore, that's for sure. But I think with Nyheim Hines at this point, I'm not sure where the Bills' interest would be. Now, they are still kind of figuring out their return man situation. As you watch them go through the offseason program, they were filtering guys in and out, trying to square away both punt return and kick return, as the rules have changed, particularly on the kick return. So they expect that to be much more of a factor. And if you look at Nyheim Hines's last year with the Bills, 16 punt returns, 19 kick returns. So they felt comfortable with him doing both. If he's healthy, he was a good soldier here. I'm not sure his off-the-field situation with the injury. I know there was some haziness with that. I'm not sure how that got worked out. But I think that if you still find yourself in need of a returner, Nyheim Hines has proven to be a reliable returner. Why not bring him in, throw him a practice jersey during training camp, and then when it comes down for cut-down days, if he doesn't have anything left, then you part ways at that point. But like I said, I think the Bills have brought in a lot this offseason. I'm not sure what the interest level would be, but they've shown in the past that they can count on him to do both punt return and kick return, and I still think they're looking to sort that out as they move forward here.
Less than 2 weeks away from St. John Fisher University and Buffalo Bills training camp, Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Which position group are you going to be paying attention to most on day one, Alex?
Yeah, I'll be following all the reports over the wide receivers, to be quite honest with you. Who's going to lock down wide receiver two, wide receiver three? I know Khalil Shakir, not your prototypical wide receiver one, but I expect him to get wide receiver one target share and really reception share this year, the way that he put on his show last year. I'm interested to see who's going to kind of separate themselves between Keon Coleman, Elijah Moore, Joshua Palmer, and the like. I like Elijah Moore right now. What I saw from him during the offseason program, his smooth route running, you've seen him post video clips this week. You can go to his X account. He just has a way about him along the route that is just special, and it's something that the Bills do not have. And his run after the catch is mighty impressive as well with his breakaway speed. So I'm going to be watching a lot concerning Elijah Moore. And then to see if Joshua Palmer, as I mentioned earlier, can come in here and build that rapport with Josh Allen and be the player the Bills are paying him to be. Because if you look at the financials, the Bills are paying Joshua Palmer to be wide receiver two, wide receiver three. But we know their everybody eats mentality. They're going to feed the ball to whoever separates themselves. And you also have second-year Keon Coleman in the mix, and I mentioned Elijah Moore. So I think the wide receiver group, you're going to see a lot of jockeying for position, and then obviously cornerback two with Tre'Davious White and Max Harrison also battling it out. You have Jamarcus Ingram and Dane Jackson kind of in the background of that positional competition. And then you have the defensive line, new addition Joey Bosa. You're likely to see him out there on the practice field for the first time after he missed the entire offseason program. And what are we going to get from Ed Oliver, Greg Rousseau, and all the young guys that they brought in, whether it be the draft or free agency? So there's not a lot of starting roles to be had come training camp, but there's a lot of position groups to pay attention to and a lot of depth roles that need to be figured out before this season gets underway.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, another battle I'm going to be paying attention to are who are the two safeties. And I would figure Taylor Rapp is going to have one of those locked down. But, you know, the way he plays, Alex, it's just kind of flying around there. I don't want to bank on Taylor Rapp being healthy all 17 games of the regular season. You're going to need other bodies back there. And, you know, who's going to be next to him? Is Cole Bishop ready to take that step? What about a Derek Forrest? Like, it's been a transition. It hasn't been the same since poor Aaron Hyde. Poor Aaron Hyde the last year weren't quite the same. We should point that out too. But your thoughts on the safety position, because after all, this still is Sean McDermott's defense, and in my mind, that's kind of the backbone here, what he puts together.
Yeah, I think the Bills really, really like Taylor Rapp. And you're right, he has been in and out of the lineup at times the past 2 years with that aggressive style of play, but they need him to be healthy. He's one of the leaders in the back end, and with the inexperience likely to be beside him in Cole Bishop, with the Bills giving him every opportunity to win that starting job, the Bills need Taylor Rapp to be healthy. He's one of their top tacklers. As I mentioned, Christian Benford earlier, you might place those two side by side as the team's top open field tacklers, the way that they're able to use their body and bring down large ball carriers and tight ends and whatever in the secondary. But beside Taylor Rapp, it's going to be Cole Bishop, I think, the leader in the clubhouse at this point. The team wants him to win the job, but they do have DeMar Hamlin coming back. He has that experience. And then you bring in Derek Forrest, similarly to how you brought in Mike Edwards last year. Edwards was hampered by, I believe it was a hamstring injury, and he never was able to really gain his footing with the Bills, and that led to his ultimate release. So I think they're going to give Derek Forrest even a chance to compete for this. Much like cornerback, too, I think that other safety role is up for grabs. The Bills want their young guys to win the jobs. They want Harrison and Cole Bishop to take the bull by the horns, contrary to public opinion. Sean McDermott wants these young guys to come in here and fit in nicely. It's just a matter of, are they comfortable with them in the system and comfortable with them really doing everything that they're asked to do as important pieces of this defense? So if you ask me right now, I think Cole Bishop will be the starter at the end of training camp, but don't count out DeMar Hamlin, Derek Forrest, and perhaps even Cam Lewis, who is continued to stick around. So,
Alex,
a couple of good competitions in the secondary.
There's two guys on the defensive line that I think for the last few years we've heard need to take that next step, that next level. What does the next level look like for Ed Oliver and Greg Russo?
The next level for Greg Russo is a double-digit sack season. I think he needs to become a finisher for this defense. His pass rush win rate and his impact on opposing quarterbacks is undeniable. He is consistently one of the more impactful edge rushers in the league, especially when it comes to stopping the run. But the Bills need a finisher. They need somebody to get the quarterback on the ground, especially in big games in January, and Greg Russo needs to become that guy. I'm confident that he can transform into that guy. He's one of my top 10 most important players on Buffalo pregame, number two, as a matter of fact. And if Joey Bosa can stay healthy alongside him, I think this could be the year we see Greg Russo elevate his game and reach that next level. We saw him kind of begin to do that with Von Miller, and then he left with the injury and nothing was really the same. But I think if you get a decent running mate for Greg Russo, somebody who can consistently warrant attention on the other side, that will free him up a little bit. And then that will even free up Ed Oliver even more. And you saw the next level from Ed Oliver a few years ago. He just took a step back last year, really seemed to reinvigorate himself toward the end of last season once he was kind of called out onto the carpet by some of the media, came into a scrum, answered some tough questions in a very confident way and went forward and produced well toward the end of the season. So I think you've already kind of seen it from Ed Oliver. You're waiting for it from Greg Russo, and I think this could be the year.
Alex, I want to get your thoughts on one player in particular, because if I threw this out there to any Bills fan, give me the one player that entering camp has the biggest variance. In other words, hey, this guy could be a Pro Bowler, or he's going to be a reserve, or worse. He's somebody that was so vital to this team, and I think last year wasn't fully right. Your thoughts here on Matt Milano. 2022, the guy is in the top 100 players of the NFL. He's an all-pro. He's the best at his position in the league. And then week five, the London game, terrible injury. Camp last year, torn bicep. So you're making a play, mind you, against Bo Nix in a playoff win. Matt Milano, do you think he can get back to where he was, or are we going to see kind of a passing of the torch? Alex, I'm asking a question you don't know about, but I'm fascinated to know what the Bills are going to get out of Milano this year.
One of my five bold predictions on Buffalo pregame is that Matt Milano will play 16 regular season games. So I view Matt Milano as still somewhat of that guy in this Bills defense. And I think the Bills do, more importantly. I think they view Matt Milano as a leader on defense, somebody that his teammates look to in times of crisis to kind of center things and regroup the entire unit. Although he's not very vocal, I think his calm demeanor and what he brings to the table on a play-by-play basis when he's healthy is something that benefits the entire unit. Now, I can understand the worry at his age with his injury history and dealing with some soft tissue stuff the past couple of years, even the end of last year when he came back from the bicep injury. So I'm concerned with the health, but what I saw from him at the end of last season, I'm still confident that he could still be that guy. If he's able to have that maintenance from week to week and make sure that he's ready to go on a week-to-week basis, I still think he can have that impact. I don't think he's all-pro level anymore, but I'm not so sure the Bills need him to be. With Terrell Bernard bringing his level of play up year after year, maybe not what the Bills wanted to see last year on the whole, but you have to factor some injuries in for him as well. But I think they like his progression overall. I'm not so sure you need Matt Milano to be an all-pro. And you also have Dorian Williams waiting in the wings. So it's going to be kind of a wait and see with Milano if he can stay healthy. Expectations were high for him at the start of last year, and then that injury, that freak injury with the bicep, kind of came out of nowhere. So it'll kind of be a hold your breath for Matt Milano throughout training camp and the preseason, hoping he can get to week one, kind of similar to Joey Bosa. But if he's not able to stand the test of time, you do have Dorian Williams, your leading tackler from a season ago, somebody who I think is taking a step forward incrementally in coverage, which I think has been his biggest weakness as a linebacker. Saw some good signs from him during the offseason program. So excited what Dorian Williams has to offer down the road, but I don't think Matt Milano's story is quite done being written.
Well, that's interesting, Alex, because you mentioned it. He's the leading tackler last season. He played a lot of football when Matt Milano was recovering. Could you make the argument that right now Dorian Williams is the better football player over Matt Milano?
You certainly could, and I had Matt Parrino on my podcast yesterday, and I think he would make that argument. I don't want to speak for him, but based on what he said, I think he was somewhat making that argument that you might be better off with Dorian Williams on the field and bringing Matt Milano in kind of sporadically and using him in situations. I'm not sure what kind of split he was referencing, but you can go back and listen to that. That's available on my feed. But yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm of consideration. Dorian Williams, like I said, they drafted him, I believe, a third-round draft pick, and he's progressed well. He started very, very raw, but the athletic traits and strength have always been there. And if he can start to have things slow down for him within this Bills defensive scheme, yeah, I don't think that's a terrible question to ask, because what we saw from him last year, he could be a player waiting to take that next step in his progression. And if Matt Milano shows any sign of injury or anything like that, I think they're going to be quick to pull the trigger on Dorian Williams.
Alex, congratulations on the new pod. And it's not just Bills, certainly the majority of it is going to be Bills, but Buffalo pregame, you also touch on a little bit of Sabres. I mean, just big picture here, Alex. I don't get the sense that the Sabre drought is going to end this offseason. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, I was more confident, I think, at the start of the offseason with kind of wondering what was going to happen. But what has transpired, the J.J. Paterka trade with Michael Kesselring and I think it's Josh Doan coming back, wasn't really impressed with the return, haven't been impressed with the other additions that they've made. And it's July 10th, and they haven't been able to trade Bo Byram for what they wanted in a top six forward, which they desperately need. So I have not been very high on the Sabres off season. If you asked me this before kind of the draft and everything started, I thought the pieces were in place, and if you made a couple of good moves, you could put yourself in position, but I'm still waiting for those moves to be made. And my biggest question is this new philosophy that they've kind of shifted towards, kind of started last year and really going full steam ahead with the bigger, tougher to play against. And Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams might not be here after next year. So you're installing this drastic change from what you had with Don Granato to now, and I'm not so sure it's a philosophy that has spread throughout the league that the Sabres are trying to employ. So I have a lot of questions, and I think some of those questions could be answered if they are able to unload Bo Byram for a decent return. But at this point, who are you going to get? Jake Neighbors from St. Louis? You're not going to get Kyrou with that no-trade clause. So there's really slim pickings left for Kevin Adams to find a trade partner. And I think ultimately what you're going to see is Bo Byram on the Sabres. 2025.
Alex, it's great having you on with us. Before we let you go, let everybody know about the new venture, Buffalo Pregame, the Substack, the pod, everything you got going on.
Yeah, Buffalo Pregame, Substack, and podcast, free to subscribe to both. You can find me on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, or just by searching Buffalo Pregame with Alex Braske on Substack, or just Alex Braske on Substack. And then, of course, Bill's Digest. Please subscribe to that. That does bear a fee, but we try to keep it low for the fans and give the people the coverage that they've come to expect since our inception years and years ago. So training camp is coming up, Bill's Digest training camp preview, and Buffalo Pregame, all sorts of goodies there as well.
Well, it's good that you're working hard, seeing that it might distract you from losing the Subway Series last weekend.
Hey, I'm on my way to New York to watch Yankees-Cubs on Saturday, so I'm going to bring the luck, and we're really going to start to turn things around. I got faith, even though our pitching is completely decimated, and if it weren't for the Subway Series and you had me on today, I could have railed against your Mets. They were really looking like the worst team in the league for a while. You're lucky we came to town.
You know, they won a few before the Yankees came to town. You know that, right? No? No.
No, I try to follow them in at arm's length, Gene.
That's smart. Alex, appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Braske, Bills Digest editor, and also Buffalo Pregame, the new pod for you to check out, where he talks not just Bills, but also Bills and Sabres. Love having Alex on with us to share his insight.
So focused on, you know, my weekend, I just kind of skipped over the fact, we have Yankees Cubs this weekend.
It's big.
It's fun.
It's going to be a lot
of fun. That's fun,
yeah. It's a fun series. And what a way to lead into the All-Star break coming up here next week. Don Stevens, the voice of the Amherst, the Hall of Famer, stops by and we dissect the Amherst schedule, which has been released today. That's coming up here at 4:25.
Are you up for a little more Bills talk next?
I'm.
Because there is something that Alex mentioned there that I think you and I could debate. This seems like our experts are divided, or maybe I'm on an island here with this one guy on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So
we can dive into that. More Bills talk on the way, and plenty of time for your phone calls. If you want to engage, 585-866 4FAN is our phone number. 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.